The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Second hour is live. We had Chris Lowe on earlier, and we will talk about Arkansas at the bottom of this hour. Right now, let's check in with Mac, who is in Mississippi. Hey, Mac. Mac, you there?
I watch the show a lot, and I want to tell you that I really like it. And
thank you.
It means a lot to me. I'm nearly blind. I don't think I'm getting through.
Well, Mac, thank you for saying that. That means a great deal. I know people in your situation, and I don't see that well myself. And it's very challenging. So thanks for sharing that information.
Could I ask you a question?
Of course.
I'm confused. All the football teams are going to let the players off Tuesday so they can go vote?
Yeah, this has been an initiative. Yeah, this is an initiative. Some of the NBA players were behind it, LeBron James and others, and it carried over to college football. This all came out of the summer of protest, and I think the NCAA mandated. I'll have to double check. So everyone must shut down Tuesday so players can go vote.
Well, let me ask you another question.
Sure.
On the same subject. If a kid is playing in Gainesville, Florida, and he lives in Cincinnati, Ohio, how's he going to vote?
Yeah.
I know he can.
Yeah, I guess the only thing. Yeah, I mean, I remember when I was in school. I think I registered to vote where I lived. So I mean, I don't know. You can register to vote, I guess, as long as you have residency. But it's a fair question.
Okay, so if they go to school there, that's their residence, and they can.
I don't know. That's really a good question. I lived. You know, I went to school in the same state, so it wasn't as big a deal. But I'm all for young people participating in the system, but to me, I mean, we're running vote spots throughout this program. I don't know where all this comes from, but all I was trying to say to the guy was there's always a political undertone here.
Yeah. I definitely think so, but it's I just didn't know the mechanics of how it's going to work.
In fairness to Mullen, Tuesday is a critical day for preparation. Tuesday is the day that everything comes together on a football team, because you're usually, depending on the team, you either some teams work on Sunday, some teams take Sunday off. You're off either Sunday or Monday, depending on the proclivities of the coach. And Tuesday is when it all comes together. It's hard to miss a Tuesday practice.
Yes, it sure is. Well, thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
Let me say one other thing. I like you for your fairness. I think you're very, very fair to everyone, and I know. Even the situations where, you know, could be some strong disagreements, you still come across as a very fair man. And I appreciate that. Thank you for having me on your show.
Well, Mac, thank you, and all the best to you, and look forward to chatting again. That means a lot. Jimmy is up next. Hey, Jimmy, you're on the air.
Hey, Paul. Man, it's great to talk to you. I've listened for years.
Thank you.
And I just really am glad I get to talk to you today. Hey, I wanted to call out Barrett Salee yesterday. Man, I about fell out of my chair when I heard him say that Florida is going to beat Georgia because they're the same as Alabama. I mean, you look at a common opponent like A&M, and they were not an offensive juggernaut until they played Florida. They only scored 17 on Vandy, and, man, they've put 41 on Florida. So I think Florida's going to get exposed by Georgia next week.
Yeah, Barrett. Those who missed Barrett yesterday, I mean, he didn't act like it was a close call. It was just a fait accompli that Florida was going to win that game. He said it was a terrible matchup for Georgia.
I know, man. Florida's not been able to stop anybody, and I just have a feeling Kirby has had Mullen's number for the last couple of years. I just think it's not going to be pretty.
And well, if that happens, it won't be the first time Barrett's been wrong about something. David is in New Orleans. Hey, David, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, love the show. Thanks for having me on. But
Thank you.
Hey, are you excited or looking forward to it all? This Tigers versus Tigers matchup. I'm talking about the nightmare at Jordan-Hare on the CBS afternoon slot. Are you excited about that game?
I am. That is of all the games this weekend. That's the one I am not going to miss a down of because I've covered this game so many times. It's a tremendous rivalry. And I think we're going to talk to Coach Malzahn tomorrow. And to me, this is a critical game for Auburn. If they lose this game, I don't know how they can manufacture much momentum the rest of the way. I mean, LSU is it feels like that program has turned around. How do you see it?
Well, I mean, I think it's got a lot of excitement. I mean, obviously, here as an Auburn fan, we're excited about Tank Bigsby, and I live here in New Orleans, and everybody's excited about their new Tank T.J. Finley, because, I mean, that guy's 6'6 and 250, young freshman. So I think it's going to be exciting to see what the freshmen do with the freshman quarterback for LSU, and Tank Bigsby just lighting the world on fire. If he actually rushes for 100 yards in this game, which if you talk to the local Matt Moscano media guy here, he thinks he probably will because everybody's, putting a lot of rushing yards up on the LSU. But if he does that, he'll be the only true freshman in SEC history to have four games straight of 100-yard games. So we're pretty excited.
Well,
I
didn't realize that. That's I can't wait. I'm glad you brought it up. And that is the 3:30 Eastern time game this weekend. John is in Missouri, and you are on the air. Hello, John.
Paul, how are you doing today?
John, we're doing great. We just survived another hurricane where I live, and the sun's out, so it's been a pretty good day, all things considered.
Good deal. Anyway, I wanted to call and get your take on the Missouri Florida game on Saturday. I think Missouri's got a good shot of playing Florida's game down there. I think it will be a high scoring affair. I think the team that doesn't turn the ball over is going to come out on top. I know a lot of the folks listening may be surprised that, there's somebody calling in that really thinks Missouri can stay with Florida on a home field, but I don't think home field's that important right now. So I think it's going to come down to turnovers. Florida gives up a lot of yards, so I can see a shootout happening down there.
Yeah, I can too, John. And there are a couple of things that are interesting about this. I'm not suggesting Florida's looking ahead after you miss 2 weeks. You're probably pretty focused on what's in front of you, but Georgia is next week. This is not a week they normally play, and secondly, I have no earthly idea what the 3 week layoff is going to do to them.
Absolutely.
So it's a big deal. I mean, Missouri's been down a little bit too. Hey, thank you for the call. I do appreciate it. How about Nick in Fort Wayne, Indiana? Hey, Nick.
Hey, Paul. So I just wanted to have your take on that Wisconsin situation there with them canceling the game.
Sure.
Since their positive tests weren't outside the Big Ten's protocol, it's almost like they're voluntarily, I know what they're doing, they're trying to do that thing about, but they're voluntarily canceling that game against Nebraska there. So I mean, my thoughts would be more of like a forfeit rather than
Nick, they made a decision to count these as no contest, so there's no getting around that. That was already written in stone. I just don't know how you can. I mean, I realize the team that's causing the forfeit, but on the other hand, it is a league and they're trying to get around it. So I think it would be the same way in any league. Hey, thank you for the call. We must head to a break. At the bottom of the hour, we're going to head out to Northwest Arkansas and get the latest on the Razorbacks as they get ready for A&M Saturday, another big game in the SEC. More of your phone calls when we come back.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back, and Jesse is up next, calling us from New Hampshire. Hello, Jesse. Welcome to the program. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Hi, I'd like to just try to help Mac answer Mac's question about the voting.
Sure.
Most states, if you have a your college ID and your regular ID, you can register to vote in that state. That's just how it usually works.
So it's not that difficult, obviously.
No, no. I mean, you can still do absentee ballots, too, but by now it's a little late.
Yeah, I don't know when voting, and I realize this in 2020 things are a little bit different in most states, but it's never been this easy to vote outside of Election Day.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, really, it hasn't. Early voting, there's so much early voting now that it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what Election Day is going to look like because, you know, there was so much information gleaned from Election Day in terms of exit polling and snapshots, and I'm not sure any of that's going to be worth a flip this year because of so many people that have already voted.
Yeah, I've heard anywhere from 50 million to 84 million votes have already been cast.
Yeah, no, I think I just saw a number. It's close to 80. You're absolutely right. Well, thank you, Jesse. I appreciate the call. Let's continue with Dwayne in Georgia. Hey, Dwayne, you're on the air.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing?
Dwayne, we're doing great. Thank you.
Hey, I had two questions, actually. First of all, I'm excited about the Auburn-LSU game. If I'm not mistaken, Auburn has not beat LSU. I think they beat them a few years ago on that last second where LSU scored and they.
Oh yeah, the that was Les Miles' last game.
Yep. Yes, it was. But anyway, I'm excited about it. And also, I wanted to. I know I've talked to you and let me do this, but I wanted to reach out to Max and I hear him say something about he was blind or losing his eyesight.
Yeah, he said he said that he could barely see, so that would mean more than likely legally blind. Legally blind can mean a lot of things.
Right, right. Well, I'm totally blind, but I know you. If I could leave my number, I would love to talk with him if you didn't mind me.
Yeah, that is such a magnanimous thing, and I guess I. Dwayne, I've known a number of people with this disability, and you know, you've been so inspiring listening to what you've had to say. I had a very close friend who was blind, and he was a former football player, and we used to get together for Super Bowl parties, and I would have to do the game for I would do the play-by-play for him, which was really cool. But I'm going to put you on hold. How about that? Don't go anywhere, Dwayne.
Hey, yeah, good. let me, if you don't mind,
yeah, go ahead.
Say something real quick.
But I want to make sure you get to. Don't hang up after you finish talking.
Okay, I graduated yesterday. I was in a business enterprise program for the state of Georgia for the blind, and it was supposed to be for 3 months, but it took 8 months because of COVID.
Right.
But now I've got it to where I'm able to start work and also I'm gonna have my own business. So I was excited about that. But I didn't realize there was work out there for the blind, but there is.
Well, yeah, I'm glad to hear that. Dwayne, how long have you been blind?
I lost my eyesight, Paul, in 2015.
Okay.
I was in the hospital for 110 days. And
oh,
I called
my goodness.
For 10 weeks, but a deer ran out in front of me. I was delivering newspapers.
Mm.
And hit a steel pole, was in a coma for 10 weeks, had a 5% chance to live, but I'm still here.
Well, that's an amazing story. Well, Dwayne, let me make sure I do this correctly. I'm going to put you back on hold, and hopefully we will do, okay, I don't have to do anything because they've done it for me since I'm technically challenged. Let's go to Cat Daddy in Columbia. Hello, Cat Daddy.
Mr. Feinbaum, you looking good, sounding good. Let me first say, I think some of these college kids is downright stupid. Today, the University of Wisconsin in Madison's student government is taking down the statue of Abraham Lincoln, and you want to know why?
Yeah, I'd love to know a reason.
They classify him as a racist white supremacist. Demanded,
yeah, I mean, I have spent a lot of my younger days studying presidents. Not that it's ever done anything for me, but it was a fascination of mine growing up. And it really isn't, there isn't much debate, Cat Daddy, that Abraham Lincoln was the greatest president in the nation's history.
Well, these youngins need to learn some history before they start spouting off stuff. But at least
I'll tell you what,
Cat
Daddy, if Abraham Lincoln is in trouble, I'd hate to see about the other 43 guys.
You got that right, Mr. Feinbaum, but it did take my mind off my Gamecocks. But I'm telling you, I didn't hear a show yesterday. I was fishing, but Velveeta said that some judge from North Carolina said something about me.
Yeah, he did. I'm trying to remember. I think he took your name in vain.
Well, no, that much. I just hope I ain't in trouble with the judge, you know. You don't want to go in front of the judge.
Here comes the judge.
I bet he was talking about Carolina, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think the judge is a Clemson fan, by the way.
Oh, well, that settles it right then and there, but I bet he was going to say we probably ain't going to win another game.
Yeah, but something tells me, Cat Daddy, that you living in the Capitol, you've got some pretty strong political ties.
Oh, yeah. We got a few of the folks in the Capitol to come over here and pick up some looking on them. I ain't going to expose who they are, but the Senate or former people. But I'll tell you one thing. Clemson Tom coming here today and said, Cat Daddy, we're going to have a costume party. I want you to come because I want you to see mine. I got the scariest costume ever. I said, you going as Frankenstein or Dracula? He said, no, I'm going as a Gamecock fan.
That's good. That's a good one. Hey,
have a good one.
Hey, thank you.
Have a good.
You bet, Cat Daddy. Cat Daddy always bringing cheer to the misbegotten. Nick is up next. Hey, Nick.
Hey, Paul. I'm a big fan. I appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you.
So I had a question about Ohio State. This cancellation between Wisconsin and Nebraska got me thinking. Let's say Ohio State, you know, heaven forbid, they only got to play six games this year. Let's say they performed really well in those six games. Do you think the weight of those performances and the weight that Ohio State's name carries would be enough to get them into the playoff?
Yeah, there is a minimum, but it's a sliding scale. As long as I think you have to play six in the Big Ten, and then unless everyone else loses a bunch of games, which doesn't look like it will happen, if Ohio State beats Penn State, Wins the Big Ten championship game and beats Michigan, I don't think it's going to make any difference. I bet they'll get in. You know, some of their games will not matter as much against inferior competition.
Well, I'm hoping my Buckeyes make it. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you. I always appreciate it. Let's take a break. We are going to have a lot to do, as I mentioned. We're going to have Griffith on in a few, about 30 or 40 minutes from now. We've already talked to Chris Lowe. We're also going to speak to Jim Stirk, the AD at Mizzou. When we come back, we'll talk about the Razorbacks and the turnaround in Fayetteville. Josh Bertaccini from...
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Red Zone Radio in Northwest Arkansas will join us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. It has just been utterly amazing, the resurgence of the Arkansas Razorbacks. We had Hunter Yurachek on the other day, the AD out there, that told us the story again of hiring the man, Sam Pittman. And now let me bring in my very good friend, Josh Bertaccini, who is the host of the morning show out there in Northwest Arkansas, and it's on all over the state, and everyone goes to Josh for Arkansas Council. I remember talking to you, JB, back when they were looking for a coach, and originally Sam Pittman's name was not mentioned, and then when it was, there was somewhat of a shock around your state. Let's go back to that moment for a second. What was the immediate reaction?
I remember it vividly, Paul, and it's great to be on with you today. That takes me back to last December, before the pandemic, before it all kind of changed. But, you know, it was an interesting process because, as you just said, Sam Pittman was not maybe the top name that Arkansas looked at first, maybe not the flashiest name. And you know what? That's exactly how Sam Pittman sold himself as the next head coach of the Hogs. I'm just the guy who wants the job more than anybody else. I've been practicing for this my whole life, and he's taken this opportunity, Paul, and I don't know how else you would describe it, but four games in, it's been a remarkable start for the Arkansas Razorbacks.
So, and this is a fan base, I mean, you've been out there a number of years. I've been able to visit with you often out there at our favorite little Chinese haunt, and, you know, there was so much angst at the end of Bielema and even during Chad Morris. Even the most zealot Arkansas fan never bought in. But through it all, your fan base has been loyal to this program, and now they're finally being rewarded. What's it been like this football season so far?
It's been a breath of fresh air is what it's been like, you know, seeing the struggles on the field the past few years, and you named a couple of the coaches, and I don't think anybody around here in this state is getting caught up in a blame game anymore. It's not about that. It's about changing the narrative about Arkansas Razorback football. And I don't think any Hog fan would tell you it was acceptable what they saw the last few years. This team was the worst team in the SEC. And Hog fans not talking about Hog football in November the last couple of years, I've only been here for 15 years, but I never saw anything like that. So this year it's a different story. Two wins already. The buzz is back. The passion seems to be back. Folks are excited about their football team again. And I go back to Sam Pittman's personality, Paul. He's so approachable. He's so likable. The guy is charismatic, and he comes across as humble. He has time for folks like us on the morning show, and he's very straightforward. And and really nice to talk with. So I think there's something to be said for his likability. And right now on the field, the staff he put together is getting some pretty impressive results too.
And I want to stop for a second because likability is interesting. It's important. It doesn't always ensure you'll win, but Northwest Arkansas, JB, is a different place than maybe 20, 30, 40 years ago. I mean, this is a metropolis in many ways of, I mean, major Fortune 500 companies. There are a lot of people from the outside that are converging to this area because of the industry, especially Walmart, Tyson Foods, obviously, J.B. Hunt Trucking. So describe when people show up there. It's not like growing up in Knoxville or Tuscaloosa. You're not automatically an Arkansas fan.
No, it's very true. And you've been here enough to know that, Paul. And the folks around here are an interesting mix because the Razorbacks are obviously the passionate local brand. And I would say, you know, you got 75-85% of still the community in Northwest Arkansas is all in on the Hogs. But as you just listed, that was four or five really, really big-time Fortune 500 companies who are massive global employers. And so, yeah, folks move into Fayetteville and Bentonville and Springdale and Rogers and the towns around here, and they come from not only Tennessee and Missouri and Alabama and Louisiana, but they come now from New Jersey, Ohio, California, has a lot of folks who come here in recent years. So a lot of different allegiances. It makes for a good debate, but the Razorback brand will always be king around here. And like you said, for folks who maybe don't know about this area, it's growing, it's got employment, it's a very livable area. And I think the folks around here really enjoy Razorback football along with everything else in the Northwest Arkansas lifestyle.
Yeah, I've already bought a house here. I'm on my way in a couple of months, and I'm going to be hanging out with you. It really is a great area. I kid you not. Well, let's talk about this weekend, JB, because this might be the most tortured rivalry I have seen in a long time. I mean, countless times over these last 8 years, Arkansas had won, either was on the verge of winning the game or should have won the game in the same result every single time.
Yeah, I thought this interview was going well until you brought up Texas A&M, and then my stomach sank a little bit. So we'll tough it out here at the end. But, no, I mean, obviously you're on the money. It's been as painful a game for Arkansas over the last 8 years as any other. Hogs are 0 for their last 8 against Texas A&M. And we're talking about a run that, you know, started at the beginning of the Kevin Sumlin era and has continued to the present day. And it's just, you know, for Razorback fans, another reason why that bothers them is historically, going back to the Southwest Conference days, Arkansas used to dominate Texas A&M. And the first few times they played with a Southwest Conference non-conference feel in Arlington, Arkansas won those games too. So this wasn't really a back and forth until it became all Texas A&M in the last 8 years. And, you know, obviously you've seen the games like everybody else has. They tend to go down to the wire, exciting football. I thought last year Arkansas, you know, played one of its better games of the year against Texas A&M and fell a touchdown short. So whatever the spread is, and last year I think it was 20, which was ridiculous. This year, I don't remember as of this morning, 13, 14 points. That seems like a lot because even when Arkansas hasn't been good and there have been some rough times lately, this game is usually a thriller in the fourth quarter. And on a Halloween night with Arkansas's defense playing really well right now, coming off a bye week, I think we're in for another great game on Saturday night, Paul.
And let me conclude by talking about what has been accomplished and what hasn't. So certainly, you hear it, I'm sure you more than us, Arkansas should have beaten Auburn. They didn't. I'm sure that was a bitter pill to swallow. But what else have you been able to glean from watching this team through 4 weeks, 4 games?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question, and my brain goes in a couple different directions. The first one is it's a team that is playing for each other. I mean, you hear that almost like it's cliche in sports now, but we saw it again with the Dodgers in the World Series. We see it, you know, with an Alabama every week. When you're playing for each other and you decide that the team is bigger than the individual egos, you got something going. You certainly have something to build on. And I don't know if Arkansas had that. the last couple of years. Things got fractured in that locker room. I think some guys were playing for their draft stock. Other guys, you know, maybe didn't even want to be there. I don't think it's like that now. Just being around this team a little bit so far, this is a team that's playing for each other. They're playing for their coach. They really seem like they bought in to being greater than just the individual parts. And the one other thing I'd say early on is they don't make excuses, Paul. You brought up the Auburn game. That was, you know, obviously just a terrible call that did not go Arkansas's way. They should have won the game. But what did Sam Pittman do afterwards? He didn't complain. He didn't bemoan it. He didn't retweet anything criticizing the officials. Instead, he stayed right there in his lane. He told his team, we did the best we could. We got to self-correct. And we've got to do what we've got to do to take it out of the referee's hands next time. And I thought that was a phenomenal move. And his team clearly responded against Ole Miss. So not making excuses, being accountable, and playing for each other, plus two SEC wins, has been a pretty awesome first month of the season here for Arkansas.
And by not retweeting anyone, he didn't have to come up with $2.5 million pennies to pay his fine. JB, great to have you on. It's always a pleasure to when I'm privileged to drop by your show. We really appreciate it and hope to see you soon. All the best, my friend.
You're the best, Paul. Thanks, buddy. Talk to you.
Thank you very much. Josh Bertaccini, the program director and the host out in Northwest Arkansas. We are going to take a break. Mike Griffith coming up here in about 30 minutes. We've already talked to Chris Lowe. Jim Sterk, the athletic director at Missouri, later on. Tomorrow, Gus Malzahn on the eve of the big LSU game in Auburn, and we are coming right back.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we're back here on a Thursday afternoon, and let's welcome Mike in New Jersey. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Just wanted to ask you a quick question. I saw over the weekend Rutgers actually surprisingly beat Michigan State with Greg Schiano in his debut there in his second stint. I'm just wondering, do you think Tennessee a few years ago made a mistake with not hiring him and kind of pushing him out the door? I just want to get your thoughts.
Yeah, I've always thought that was one of the worst miscarriages of I wouldn't call it justice, but miscarriages of a coaching hire I've ever seen. He was hired to be the Tennessee coach, and then a confluence of things happened. Blogs connected him to the Penn State story, which was never proven that he had anything to do with the Sandusky case. And Tennessee withdrew the offer, and it took him a while to finally get a head coaching job, but he's gotten one. And I think he's better off where he is. I think, you know, he's proven that he can do it up there, and I think he's already proving it again. I think that's a great fit for Rutgers and a great landing spot for Schiano.
Right. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah, that, I hate to relive the Tennessee episode of 3 years ago. Hazen is up next in Denver. Hello, Hazen. You're on the air.
Hello, Paul. Volunteer for life. Great to talk to you, and it's an honor.
Thank you very much.
Just a little history. Born and raised in Knoxville. Wife and I graduated from UT. My dad played ball for the General.
Oh, wow.
My great-grandfather was sheriff of Knoxville in 1904. My grandfather was sheriff in 1940. I know Knoxville. I love Knoxville. And I'm a Vol forever, win or lose. Two things for you. One, the game that happened on Saturday when Alabama scored their third touchdown, I don't know his name, but number 69 for Alabama lost his helmet. And when he did, they didn't stop the play, which by rule they should. And he continued to play on, and they allowed the touchdown and didn't give him a 15-yard penalty. And just curious,
why that's the case.
Yeah, I did not. I watched the game. I must have missed that series. I'll see if I can find that out. I do not know the answer to that, but I must tell you, your family tree is most impressive.
Well, thank you. It's an honor to be from Knoxville and the history.
Now, who,
and,
did you tell me your great? You know, who played for the General?
My father did.
Your father? Wow.
He played with Herky Payne and Barcella and all the, as he said, all the boys.
Yeah, no, I got to meet a few of those guys, Herky in particular, you know, when I was in school and you know for at various events. But people don't realize when you've lived in Tennessee like I have, when somebody mentions the General, you stand still. It's there's no getting around that.
Yeah, my dad lived in the dorm in the stadium, even though he was married to my mom at the time, and he used to sneak out the window to get to the apartment to go see my mom. So,
well, I tell you what, I had a class in Neyland my first year, and I would do a lot of investigating, and I saw some of those dorm rooms, and those weren't exactly luxury spots.
Do you ever remember the name Doug Atkins?
Oh, of course. One of the great players of all time.
Doug was bigger than all outdoors, and he used to come over to our motorhome when we would stay at the stadium on Saturday, and he and his son and I played ball together, along with Don Dickey, who was Doug's son.
Absolutely.
And when Dad was over at UT, they all got in a big fight, and I've got a photograph of it somewhere where they ended up tearing up every piece of furniture in this apartment complex. The General had to go over and pay to have it cleaned up, but Dad said there wasn't anything bigger than a toothpick in the building from Doug tearing up everything. He was just so big.
No, unfortunately, Hazen, it's been so long, and you know, people obviously know who General Neyland was, but I don't think he gets enough credit in the modern discussion of greatest coaches ever, because I think he certainly is in that conversation.
Right, and one last comment, and then I'll let you go to your next call, but one day Doug was in the trailer with us, and I said, what's the most crazy story you've got about the General? He said, we were at practice one day, and the General made me run and grab a limb off the tree, and he just yelled, "Mimosa," or whatever the tree was called, I forget. And he said, take the tree. And he said, Coach, if you want more better ball, he said, you need to quit paying $50. You need to pay $100 ball. And Coach said, I'm not talking about money anymore with you. But that was quite a story back in the day.
Oh, my. Well, Hazen, thanks for sharing it, and you be well. Thank you very much. That is really a cool story. Let's check in with Court in Birmingham. Hello, Court.
How you doing, Paul?
We're doing great.
On the show.
Thank you.
Hey, just a comment about on the first hour of Fell, I can't remember. I think his name might have been Hugh, and he had mentioned about Brigham Young and how they're the fourth best team, or that maybe they could compete in the, you know, just kind of throwing their name out there. And I'm an alum. I've been a fan my whole life. I'm 50 years old, and you know, obviously we're flattered, but the reality is, you know, there's a far cry from Alabama, Clemson, and Georgia, and Ohio State to Brigham Young. But the one comment he made that I've been hearing my whole life is, oh, it's unfair because Brigham Young, they got those 25-year-old players. That's an unfair advantage, and I've heard that every year we've got an above-average team that we do a little bit better than we should. I hear all these arguments, everyone wants to bring up the mission trip and all this kind of stuff, and I got to tell you, that's not an advantage. If it was an advantage, as Kalani Sitake said a long time ago, Alabama would send their guys on a mission for 2 years. I mean, the guys are going to, you know, they're going to Belize, they're going to
Guatemala. It may be an advantage of some sort, but Court, BYU last won a national championship, I think it was in 1984, so it hasn't helped them that much.
No, it hasn't.
And by the way, they shouldn't have won that one. That was laughable that they were given the national championship that year by having to play, I think, a 6-5 team in a bowl game.
Well, and the reality is, over the last 5 years, we're 27-25. Where's the advantage been? I mean,
yeah, exactly.
You know, we're not getting and the best Mormon athletes, like, you know, Penei Sewell, he didn't go to Brigham Young. Manti Te'o,
no.
You know, Jabari Parker, Star Lutulele. These are elite Mormon.
Corey, you're right. I hate to run. We are up against a break. I don't want to run out of time, but we still have 2 hours.